B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Stephen Piercy from the legendary band Rat joins me today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Lots of things going on in his camp, including the 2020 plans. He's going to be inducted into the Metal Hall of Fame. That's something that means a lot to him, which he'll tell us about in just a bit. I also asked him about the phrase hair bands and what he thought.
Yeah, the hair metal thing, it's kind of lame.
We talk about the 35th anniversary of their debut record, Out of the Cellar. He brought up Motley Crue and Def Leppard. We talk about that tour. And what about the Cruise movie, The Dirt?
But It was close, but not really.
Oh, and by the way, we couldn't talk to him without talking a little bit about drag racing.
I am actually entertaining some teams right now, and I had to get a hold of my partner in racing and let him know that we'd like to get a car out there, a fuel car, to co-sponsor the tour.
Stephen Piercy from Rat joins me today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, thank you so much for listening to the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Final episode of 2019. We'll be back at it again for 2020. I think this year we've done over 80 episodes, I want to say, and of course over 80 interviews since a lot of these had multiple interviews. And today we're going to talk with Stephen Piercy from Rat coming up here in just a second. A little bit of housekeeping first. Al Beck's going to join me after the interview, not to talk rock news like he usually does, but this time we'll look back on some of the biggest interviews we did this past year. A guitar legend, as well as a legendary front man. Actually, a few of them we talk about, but that comes up here in just a little bit. In the meantime, Stephen Piercy and Rat are just wrapping up their 2019, doing some final shows. If you're anywhere in Southeast Michigan, they're playing the Fillmore Detroit coming up on December 28th. We talk about that gig and talk about what he has going on in 2020, as well as he has a lot actually in store for 2020. Didn't realize how much he had until I kind of Googled it and stuff. And yeah, they've got a lot of things that they're working on, and a lot of things percolating, so to speak. So in the meantime, without any further delay, let's talk with Stephen Piercy from Rat today on Talkin' Rock.
Real good. How are you doing?
Good. Are you you over here? You're on the East Coast somewhere, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to be here all month.
Okay. All right. Well, I had this 145, so we'll get rolling here with him, get you on your business at a hand. So how's things going on this sure. Tour here before Christmas time?
Well, we're taking aim and kicking ass, firing all cylinders and having some fun.
Yeah. What I mean, you talk about the current makeup of the band and stuff. How long has this current makeup been together?
A little year and a half or so. And this is pretty much locked in. We've got to record, we're going to record some new music next year, start writing pre-production in January, and looking forward to that and building up the World Infestation Tour for 2020 already. And it's a good direction.
Yeah, it seems like your 2020 is going to be pretty busy. We'll talk about that first, I suppose. But so you got your the Metal Hall of Fame thing coming up on January 15th. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, you know what? Something like that, I have much more consideration for than like an MTV award or a VH1 stroke award, being a token whatever. I mean, it's so political, those goofy-ass awards. And there is no MTV or VH1 anyway, so it's a privileged pleasure to be in the Metal Hall of Fame, It's from the people.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because just talking to you, the first video I ever saw in my life on MTV was Round and Round.
That's great.
I'll never forget that. We didn't have MTV in my house, but my uncle had it. So when we went to my grandparents' house, he had it in the basement or something. And I'll never forget, crashing through the ceiling and the whole. I'm like, this is crazy, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's interesting. Back then, it was a whole new experience. And, you all of a sudden had to become an actor,
Yeah. Now, I was going to say, so back then, it's kind of weird how times work, because back then you made your videos that got shown on MTV, but now you make your videos or whatever, and it shows up on YouTube and millions of people watch it as well, so.
Exactly. So it's gone full circle, and I'm sure somebody smart out there will start a music channel, music video channel again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but back in the day, did you have to play politics and stuff with the with not only the radio stations and maybe even, you know, metal or rock magazines, but also MTV?
Not really. I don't know what the label trip was with, you know, payolas and all that crap with those radio stations. But, you know, a band like us or who broke, we broke big. So, you know, it's just you had to listen, you had to play, and you had to see it because people wanted it. You know, it's the same with the Motley when they came out or anybody at that time, a Jovi or Leopard, you know. If you're wanted, you're a wanted man, you know.
No pun intended, right? So I saw this year it also, you know, Out of the Cellar turned 35 years old. I couldn't even believe it when I saw that. I'm like, that. That's right. That's when I saw that video. It was 35 years ago. I mean, it's an unbelievable debut record, too, by the way.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know, it's still a hot cake out there. And, you know, it's we just... A lot of movies we've putting it in and TV stuff. It's standing the test of time, which is great. It's still fun to play live. And speaking of Out of the Cellar, we're actually doing about 6-7 songs from that album, you know, on this tour.
Yeah, on this current tour. Yeah, that's killer, man. You just mentioned Motley and stuff. Did you see the Dirt?
Oh yeah, I saw it. It was close, but it was crazier than that.
Really? It was okay. So they kind of tamed it down a little bit for TV, eh?
Yeah, they did because I lived it with them. You know, Robin and I, we go over their apartment for parties, and you wouldn't leave for 3 days. You know,
I talked to Slash about it one time, and of course, Slash. There was a guy portraying Slash in the scene where Nikki ODs and stuff. I'm trying to remember. Right. Was there any parts that I haven't seen the movie in a few months? Was there any parts of that movie where you guys could have been portrayed in, or no?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But, I mean, they had their hands full. It's like, you know, I've been thinking about doing something like that years ago. And now, you know, not because of that, but I would like to next year give a proper representation to Rat and the history, you know, and stuff like that. But it was close, but not really. But a lot of that stuff was real, you know. Because I've experienced it, and it was a good thing. I think the movie was great.
So. Now, while you say you were thinking about doing something yourself, like a documentary or like a movie, like what they did?
Yeah, years ago. Yeah, it was on the table, and I had somebody collectively getting film together, and you know, stuff like that. And Juan Cousier, our bass player. He's been filming Rat shows since day one, so you know we have plenty of footage of backstage, on stage. You know, we've given some out for some things, but the real stuff, it's there. You know, pictures and things like that. But I don't know if we go that route with actors portraying. I'd rather show the real deal. You know.
Now, I would imagine that one of the biggest obstacles of doing something along those lines would, probably be getting, you know, be allowed to sign off on it from former band members and whatnot, and maybe even B, signing off on it from former groupies and whatnot, right?
That's the other people, that's a catch 22 there. I don't know if you'd really have to. You just put a bar of black over their eyeballs. But the other guys, no, I don't think so, because that was part of the deal, you know. No, it's all good, you know. Well, people would know what we do. It's like it's the same pretense we've had since day one, you know, not release live concerts, you know, not really get into the ballads. We kind of stayed away from everything that was cool, and maybe it cost a bit of press and this and that, but we really didn't care for that kind of nonsense, you know. So there it is, 35 years later. Wham, you know?
Yeah, that is interesting. I never thought about that. But yeah, you guys never did do a bailout. I was going to ask you, like, why do you think Rat never, in the 80s and stuff, never really headlined? You guys were always in there, and you guys always had tons of fans, sold lots of records, videos, the whole thing. But do you think maybe it is because you didn't put out a bailout? I'm just thinking about it just now. I've never even thought about that before.
You know, not really. We did, though. You know, I wrote a song, Giving Yourself Away, with Desmond Child and Diane Warren.
Okay.
That's solid. I Want to Love You Tonight, I wrote with Robin. That was a little ballad. But we just didn't get sappy with the stuff. And, you know, we just didn't want to follow the norm. You know, everybody was doing it, jump on the bandwagon. We were like, no. You know, it's the same with the live concerts. You know, everybody's putting out live concerts. Well, nowadays, you're putting out a live concert without even knowing it, because people are filming it every night.
That's true, yeah.
You know, and you either suck because of their, you know, phone sound, or you're really good, you know, hey.
Dude, I mean, it's got to be nauseating to look out there and see cameras and phones and stuff, right?
You know, I don't mind. I don't care. I mean, you know, any press is good press. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you got two eyes, right?
Right.
One's on the phone, one's on the band. So who cares? You know?
Man, it has come a long way since I saw you guys back in the 80s, and I'd bring a disposable camera, and the stage would be like really far away, and the pictures were all garbage, of course, you know.
Yeah, I did the same. I'd take one of those throwaway cameras with the round disc, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd be clicking pictures on stage and everywhere I could, you know. I've got boxes of pictures, and I still have film to this day with those cameras not even developed, you know. I'm afraid to get them developed.
Yeah, there might not be any place to get them developed nowadays.
Yeah, right. So right, huh?
So, hey, let me ask you about this, because this came up a couple times this year. What do you think of the term hair band or hair metal? Do you guys consider yourself that, or how do you feel about that?
You're like one of the smartest people to bring that up, because, you know, I think it's stupid. You know, it's like, look, everybody had long hair in the 60s and the 70s and 80s, just a little poofed up in the 80s, 90s, and now it's like, come on, man, what are they going to label next, you know? I'll go back to 1983 and call it, what did I call it? Fashion metal.
Fashion metal, huh? I never heard that term before.
I actually had that on cards in early days, because I'd be, you know, trying to get the band gigs.
And this was in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fashion rock. I think it was called fashion rock or something weird.
What do you think?
But the hair metal thing, yeah, the hair metal thing, it's kind of lame.
Yeah.
You know, but I really don't care. I'm not bothered by too much nonsense out there, actually, you know. You know, too much going on to think about than that. But hey, call me hair metal, I don't care.
Well, it's one of those things probably where you look in the rearview mirror and there's 35 years of success. So it's like your legacy's out there, right?
Yeah, and, you know, and that's a good thing. I've said that before. You know, I know how many records I've sold. I know how many songs I've written. I mean, people think I just yell at you. Well, no, I write songs since day one, you know. So I like the legacy. Yeah, I can deal with it. And that's where that Hall of Fame thing, you know, that metal Hall of Metal thing is respected, you know. It's on the people.
Yeah, and you're going in there with some heavy hitters as well when that comes up in mid-January. So you talked about maybe putting out some new Rat next year. Now, is this going to be a full-blown album, a couple singles here and there? Have you gotten anything, have you laid any tracks down at all yet, or is it going to start fresh in January?
I've demoed about 15 songs, and it's going to be hard to pick. I'll throw the band probably 5 songs, and Juan is writing, Jordan has given an idea already, and we're not going to be lacking songs. I think what I wanted to do first was release a couple songs and see what happens. But we've got so much music, it might be easier just to do a record and release the songs whenever we want. And then at the end of the day, you know, release three songs here, three there, then release the record.
I wanted to ask you about, we talked about Motley and you mentioned Def Leppard before. What do you think of this reunion tour they have coming up next year?
I think it's cool. You know, anything that, you know, kicks this, the music in the ass, I think is great. You know, the more the merrier, you know?
Yeah. No, it's killer. You got some killer dates coming up too next year with the M3 and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, we're already booking summer festivals, Spain, Denmark, all over the place. So we're good.
Hey, listen, Stephen, final thing here for you. Of course, you're coming through the Motor City at the Fillmore coming up on December 8th. You're a big, I mean, obviously a big car guy. By the way, how's that going for you?
I'm actually entertaining some teams right now, and I had to get a hold of my partner in racing and let them know that we'd like to get a car out there, a fuel car, to co-sponsor the tour, you know?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'll happen. So the racing season starts February. See what we can do.
So final thing here for you, since we are in Detroit and you do have a long history, you know, with playing in Detroit and stuff, what kind of Detroit memories do you have, or any Detroit music that rubbed off on you?
Detroit, that's Ted Nugent town, isn't it?
Yeah.
and who else?
Cheap Trick's from Chicago. Alice Cooper, Bob Seger, you know, Kid Rock, Jack White, all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah, that's way cool. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Kid Rock came to one of our shows there one time. I think it was my solo show. I don't know. And I don't think he minds, but he was up in the Raptors in there, and I pointed at him, and I was like, hey, man. I go, come on down and jam. And he was like, nah. And then I showed him a joint, and he came down on stage and sang a song.
That doesn't sound anything like him. I don't believe that for one second.
Yeah, right?
Hey, man. Well, listen, I want you to have a great Christmas, and thanks so much for taking the time out here and talking with us. And, man, Rat and Roll for over 35 years now. It's hard to believe. When I was a kid, I grew up in Buffalo, and you just played there at one of my friends' places. And when I grew up in Buffalo and I saw that video for the first time, you couldn't have told the kid that I'd be talking to you. This is not the first time, but and haven't met you before and stuff. And it's really cool how this world works out. So
that's way cool, man. Thank you very much. And Detroit, well, we're gonna go out there and kick some ass. That's all I know.
That's it, man. That's all for 2019.
Oh, not a moment too soon. God.
You have the same feeling I do. So anyways, yeah. So Al Beck is over here.
That's right.
Apparently the new host of the show, according to some website.
Yeah, I can't remember what website it was.
There's a Guns N' Roses website, and for some reason they picked up the Rob Halford interview. I'm not sure why, because they're a Guns N' Roses fan site or something like that. But anyways, they kept referring to the host, Al Beck.
Yeah.
So,
and you emailed the link to me, and I responded to you that I love the idea of somebody not named Meltdown hosting a podcast talking rock with Meltdown.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah. I think, to be honest and to be fair to those guys, I think there might be a little bit of a language barrier between
could be.
I think that they're overseas somewhere, that particular website. So,
hey, they spelled my name correctly. That's all that matters.
That's right. It doesn't matter what they say as long as they spell your name right. So, hey, listen, we invite you to go back and check out some of the podcasts if you're like home for Christmas vacation or New Year's or whatever. We've had some great interviews this year.
Some big news on this show, too, over the course of this past year.
Yeah, speaking of Guns N' Roses, as a matter of fact, Slash made news right here at the end of May. I want to say around May 28th or something like that, where he actually let the cat out of the bag that those guys are going back into the studio and recording brand new music after their fall tour.
And then come September, October, we turn on the Guns thing, and then that goes from there. After those Guns dates, the festival dates, we'll be working on the record and doing.
Hello? Hey, you there, Slash?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no, is right. Come on. I got to have that. Well, that was kind of weird. It took a few minutes, about four, as a matter of fact, but we were finally reconnected with Slash, and it started off rocky, but we got back into it. Can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. No, I was just saying it's the biggest cliffhanger I've ever had in an interview. You're like, you're talking about the brand new record, and all of a sudden you just cut out, so...
I guess that must have been sort of active fate or something. No, well, so to finish what I was saying, so yeah, when we finished the tour in the fall, then we will commence on working on, you know, it will end up being the next Guns record. So.
Yeah, last time I talked to you a few months back, you weren't really sure if you're going to do, you know, you were kind of saying never say never and stuff like that. So it's pretty much set in stone now. You guys are ready to go with the new record, or at least writing process and the whole thing.
Yeah, the thing is you know, we haven't really done anything yet, and I don't like to say anything like, oh yeah, you know how people used to promote shit in life with the keys.
Right.
I just wanted to be honest about it, and so there was really no telling what we were going to do at that point. But at this point, I do know that we're going to do this run, and we've already started working on stuff. So there you go.
There you go. Slash talking about the possibility of recording some brand new music. And what's cool about that clip right there, as you heard, like Slash just gets into talking about this, and it seems like he couldn't wait to tell somebody, and all of a sudden the phone just cut out. Because he was in Brazil.
Right.
He was in Brazil, and I was here. And luckily, there's that third guy on the phone who's, like, listening to the whole thing. He's kind of like, I don't know what happened there.
Slash, are you there?
So, yeah, almost 4 minutes later, we finally got Slash back. At one point, the guy said, I don't know if we can get him back. I'm like, you got to get him back. Yeah, he was just telling me what I wanted to hear.
Yeah. That's also, he's got the most hilarious name for something like, Slash, are you okay?
Yeah. So, anyways, that was cool. And Slash is such a funny guy. I remember one time we were doing something, and I don't know, I went up on stage, and I was supposed to, like, interview him or something, and I asked him a question or something. He goes, why are you talking? And I'm like, that's what they told me to do. So anyways, after I see him later on, I go, dude, why'd you bust my balls like that up on stage? He's like, yeah, just trying to add some levity to the situation. I'm like, really? Thanks. Like,
yeah.
At my expense. So anyways, he's always great to talk to. Of course, one of the greatest rockers out there. Another one of my favorite interviews was Dee Snider. And did you ever meet Dee?
I've never met Dee, but he's a lot of fun, that guy.
No, Dee is awesome. Yeah. And what was really cool is I interviewed him at Astronomicon live in front of, like, I don't know, like 100 people or something. Have you been to the Astronomicon thing?
No, I haven't, no.
So out here, apparently Elle doesn't go to anything. But
I'm not a big crowd person, so the only con I've been to was that Star Trek convention earlier this year.
Oh, there you go. Hello. You ever kiss a girl? So anyway, so this Astronomicon is put on by the guys from Twisted, who, by the way, are also one of my favorite interviews of the year, because we did it right in their studio. It sounds great. But anyways, they were bringing in Dee Snider, and the year previous, I had hosted a panel with not only the Twisted guys, but everybody on their label. Mm. Some of these guys I didn't even know. Like, until that day, I'm like, hey, what's your name again? I didn't even know who some of these guys were.
Sure.
And so then they're like, hey, Dee Snider's coming in. Would you mind hosting, you know, this thing? And I'm like, hey, that'd be killer, man. Could you guys record it? I could put it on my podcast. And they're like, yeah, sure. So at this one point, Dee starts talking about this band, this little known band that he played with. And I'm surprised they went as far as they did. They were called Metallica.
And I remember, this is a true story. So we're on tour with Metallica, and we're in Holland, and I'm standing outside the stage, and I'm watching them doing their set. And I turn to my bass player, I go, you know, these guys got a lot of heart, but they're never going to go anywhere. Like I said, I'm brutally honest.
You ever hear those guys before? Metallica?
Up and coming.
Up and coming. Yeah. Okay.
Kind of a catchy name.
All right. Yeah. You can dance to it a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
So that was Dee Snider in front of a crowd of about, I don't know, 100, 150. Depends, like, who is, you know, people can kind of go in and out. I talked to Dee for like an hour. And it literally felt like 7 minutes. I mean, you just talk to him. You know, he's such a great speaker, and it's so much fun to talk with Dee Snider. So I can go back and check out that one as well. Talked to Rob Helford a couple times this year. What a great guy he is to talk to, as we mentioned earlier. And you got any favorite interviews?
I don't listen to this podcast.
No, he doesn't. Only well, his part.
You did. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Now, you did talk to David Lee Roth, and he made a, you know, talking about making news.
Diamond Dave. Wow, man. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, Dave was great. And as I posted on a recent blog I just did at WRIF.com, Dave is one of those guys where it's like trying to herd cats.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, are you, you know, what's going to happen here? And Dave, it's funny because Dave will give you an answer for like 25 seconds. Then he goes off into Dave land and he talks about what he wants to talk about. Yeah. And then you got to bring him back and you ask him another question. Then he goes back into Dave land. But anyways, love David Lee Roth. Love talking to him. And speaking of making news, I asked him, I said, look, man, are you bummed out? You didn't get to go out with Van Halen this year? I mean, people would have loved to have seen you guys tour.
It's been canceled a number of times and I think Van Halen's finished and this is the next phase. I've inherited the band de facto, whatever that means. I think it means you've inherited it. Carry this proudly. Van Halen isn't going to be coming back in the fashion that you know. And that being said, Eddie's got his own story to tell, not mine to tell it.
There's Dave. That was one of the funniest interviews as well, because Dave actually threw in some jokes in there. Mm-hmm. Dave loves to entertain himself.
Yeah.
And so one of my friends, who will remain nameless, said that he loves Dave, but he's just like, he is exhausting. So anyways, Dave,
I know
was
somebody
great.
Like that.
Yeah. Yes, and we all do.
Yes.
And if you don't, you are the one.
Exactly.
So yeah, you're talking about making news. I posted that around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and by 5 o'clock it was on Rolling Stone.
Oh my god, that thing caught fire.
Yeah, so that was really cool. Dave, of course, letting the cat out of the bag that he thinks Van Halen might have been kaput.
Yeah,
so.
Well, now he's going to be opening for Kiss on the End of the Road tour.
That is cool, man. Yeah. That's awesome. You know, I know a lot of people kind of rag on Dave and stuff, and he's a little bit more like a little bit more showy nowadays than he has been in the past or whatever, you know. And I remember, you know, he had this part of the stage where he could slide around on the stage, you know, and stuff, like even with Van Halen. But man, it's hard to top that David Lee Roth Van Halen. As much as I love the Sammy stuff, you know, but it's hard to top that. But speaking of Sammy, yeah, we're talking about that as well. Do you remember that?
Yes.
No, he doesn't remember
anything. No.
But Sammy, speaking of the thing, I'm like, hey, you know, I said to Sammy, I go, listen, is Michael going to go out on tour with these guys from Van Halen? And here's what he had to say.
Well, there is no confirmation about a VH tour. I ain't here to tell you yes or no if it's going to happen or not going to happen. But Mikey's my dearest friend in the world. He's my favorite bass player and singer on the planet, you know, to be in a band with. And we will continue to be in a band our whole life. But if there was an opportunity for him to go play in Van Halen again, just to, you know, kind of mend that up, you know what I mean, just to keep that sour note from being in his head all for the rest of his life, he has my blessings. I will take the time off and while he goes and does it. We've already talked about it, but there is nothing confirmed. I can tell you straight up right now, there has been nothing confirmed, and I ain't going to say it is or yeah, because it's not my place, but right now we're going to go out and promote this record together that we made together, and we're going to do some shows, and then as soon as these shows are done and we figure what we want to do, we'll go book some more and keep doing it, because Mikey is, he's in the circle. He's my bass player. He's my fellow singer. He's my bandmate. He's my dear friend. He's my soul brother.
There's Sammy Hagar talking about the Van Halen tour that never happened, and just a really nice guy right there to talk to as well. He's one of these guys. He loves to be like the life of the party. I remember about, I don't know, 15 years ago, he came to our golf outing. Mm-hmm. He didn't golf. He didn't do anything. You know what he did? He rode around in a golf cart giving shots of his tequila to everybody. Straight out of the bottle. It's not like one of these things where, you know, yeah, here's a plastic cup. No, drinking right out of the bottle.
Doing the most good.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Trying to think of moments that may have been a little bit awkward or whatever on the podcast. As far as funny.
Oh, I was going to say, you're going to turn to the rock news segments for some of those.
Yeah, those were awkward.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I had to edit those stupid things.
Speaking of having to edit, though, I would encourage people, if they haven't yet, to go check out your Meltdown's Meltdown that we did about the Star Wars stuff. I thought that was a good episode.
The Star Wars
stuff. Wars episode. It was just like a week or two ago.
Yeah, that was the last week. Yeah. As a matter of fact, speaking of editing, the latest Meltdown's Meltdown has a bunch of bloopers.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, I don't know if we put any of yours on there. Well, we did with the Star Wars.
Oh, we did a blooper reel for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways, but yeah, I was thinking about this too. It's like, you know, one of the funniest interviews I ever did, which is really funny to talk about, is with the dude from Clutch, Neil. And Neil, had me in tears. I was laughing so hard. And it's one of those things where I don't think he didn't mean to do it. But he was telling me, this was a few years ago, and I don't even know why I'm bringing this up, but he was telling me how his six-year-old son, and you know, Neil's not very athletic, right? You can imagine that.
Yeah.
He's not an athletic guy. And he was telling me how he's pitching baseball to his six-year-old son, and his six-year-old son said, you're the worst pitcher in the world. And it's like, just the conversation was hysterical. You know, meanwhile, David Lee Roth's telling jokes, and Neil is telling me about his six-year-old kid. So,
yeah, I like it.
So anyways, looking forward to some more big names coming up again in 2020, and if we're lucky, or maybe not, Al Beck will come back. I don't know.
Might be
hosting the show here. We'll see what happens.
According to that foreign, whatever. I am
that Guns N' Roses forum. Yeah. So what do you got? Taking a couple weeks off here.
I'm gonna be taking a couple weeks off, just kind of relaxing. But of course, you can still hit me up Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Al Beck Radio.
Have you tried any good bourbon lately?
You know, when it comes to bourbon, my go-to is Woodford, man.
Yeah, Woodford's great. Jefferson the other day.
Oh, Jefferson's is good.
You know, I got to tell you, I just saw Jesse James Dupree from Jackal over the weekend, and he's got that blend, you know, and it's really good. And I'll tell you what, for the price point, it's really good.
Really?
You can get it for like $17 for a fifth. And you know, I'm not a huge, like, I love Jack Daniels, right? But I'm not a huge Fireball guy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And even the Fire Jack and stuff like that. But Jesse's got this Devil's Devil, which, man, I got to tell you, it's
another
awesome.
Cinnamon one?
Yeah, but it's not as cinnamony. It's not so over the top. I really like it a lot. I don't like that kind of stuff for the most part. Have you had the peanut butter bourbon yet?
No, I haven't had that.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't even. No.
Yeah, I had some at the machine shop. Shout out to the machine shop.
Yeah, you're more of a bourbon guy. I like scotch usually, but I do like a bourbon.
Who are you, Ron Burgundy?
Yeah, exactly.
Scotchy.
Yes.
So, but anyways, that's going to do it for this edition of Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. Do appreciate you guys listening out there, the tens of you that do. The tens and the tens.
Yeah, I think my mother unsubscribed.
That bitch. Anyways, at Meltdown WRIF, feel free to hit me up anytime. Facebook and Twitter at, WRIF Meltdown on the Instagram.
You got to streamline that, man.
I know it. As I say in the radio, you know, full-time radio DJ, fuller-time Instagram model.
Sure,
That's how I roll.
God help us all.
Yeah, so, hey, you got any bourbon suggestions? I mean, by all means, hit me up on the social media. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening. Al, have a great vacation.
You too, man. Thanks.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks again.